Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
Introduction, please.
Oh, what is Faust about? There's a big question.
Faust, for me, is a hugely romantic story. It's kind of a love story.
It's about being content with where you are and who you are, and not always looking for something more.
It's, again, a big existential exercise, I suppose, in philosophy and in life, which I love that about opera.
I can't answer that question. I mean, can I come back to it?
Faust is considered a masterpiece of the French literature, and certainly of the period in which it premiered, to my mind, because it embodies so much of what is quintessentially French, something moderate and very, very subtle, very, very tasteful, very, very classy. Now, lest you think that translates to boring, you are very wrong.
It's almost verismo, but it's not really. The subject matter has a tendency to be less about weighty matters and more about personal relationships and love. And so as a result, it gets kind of a bad rap as being frivolous and light. There's a lot that psychologically goes on with these characters, and especially taking it from a 21st century point of view, bringing all of our experience, maybe we have a different experience about what's happening to these people than when it was originally written, which just, in a way, makes it all the more interesting, I think. The pieces are more interesting from our points of view. Now, there's a lot of exterior things that make French opera French opera. There's usually a big ballet, which, of course, most every company cuts in this country because they don't have resident ballet companies that they're trying to employ. It's very, very grand in scope. This is a huge, huge production, big, huge, monumental kind of physical set. The forces are always big, big choruses. And so there are certain exterior things that that you might say make it a French opera, but in this particular case, I think that it has a lot to do with the kinds of stories it tells.
In Germany, the opera is actually called Marguerite, and here it's called Faust. I think that's also to do with the fact of not treading on the toes of Goethe so much. But it always makes me interested in that there's two ways you can look at this opera, whether it's from the point of view of Faust, who, of course, is central in the terms of making his pact with the devil, which is what causes everything to happen. But, of course, who it happens to is Marguerite, really. So it's interesting to you know, look at it from that point of view as well.
She falls in love with Faust, has his baby, he doesn't return, her brother returns from war, the brother faces Faust, is killed by Faust, and her brother curses her. Also, she begs forgiveness for her, you know, impurity in church, and also begs for Faust to return, upon which she thinks the priest also condemns her. So in a very short period of time, she's a condemned woman and loses her mind, kills her baby, and by the end, she's in a prison. So, oh, it's a tough role. Job to do, to portray these characters in the moment and let the audience enjoy their personal struggles and not necessarily think of one character being totally right or even the devil being totally wrong, although of course being the devil, that's his character, of course, is always wrong. but it's more about going through the event and just following the storylines and coming away with not just judgment, but a new understanding, a new, you know, stimulating your own thoughts about life, what it means. Is it better to know something as in, you know, cognitively to know, or to know by experiencing it?
The character of Faust is an interesting character. He starts off at the beginning of the opera as an old man, and he's kind of realized that his, you know, all of his studying, all of his, you know, throughout his entire life, he's just become this lonely old man, and there's nothing left for him but death. So, you know, so he prays to God for help, because he's about to kill himself, he wants to end his life. So he prays to God, and he doesn't obviously get the response that he wants or get help from God. So he calls upon the devil, and the devil answers his prayers and says, "What can I do for you?" And he says, "Well," he said, "do you want riches? Do you want fame?" He goes, "No, no, 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 I don't want any of that. I want to be young again. I want energy. I want," and he said, and so the devil makes a deal with him and says, "If you want to be young again," he said, "you can have everything you want. Just sign this contract with me. On earth, I'm your servant. You owe me nothing. But in hell, you're my servant." And Faust accepts it. And I think it's really just because he's lost. He has nothing left. And he's just, you know, it's his last chance to be young again, to go back and do, to be in love, to do the things that he didn't do when he was younger. You can hear when Faust is an old man, he's singing on stage by himself in the prologue. You can kind of hear the agony and the defeat it is in his music and in his voice. Yeah. you can also hear the devil. Like, the devil's this evil character. But, I mean, every once in a while you hear this dark color into his music. But you also hear, like, a joyful color in it, too. That's just the devil enticing all the characters to do what he wants and to manipulate everybody.
People's idea of what the devil is and what evil is changes all the time. And so that gives me an ever-changing landscape of choices. So with that said, I mean, in its essence, it is the devil. And basically the moral of the story is, careful, you might get what you wish for. And I am the agent of that change. And in some versions that I've done, I am the embodiment of what these people think the devil is, and which is sort of an interesting way to look at it. It's a very post Freud, post Jung way of looking at what we conceive evil is. Comic elements of the story are written into the opera itself. I think there's lots of it. There, through the humor that the devil expresses, Mephistopheles expresses, that you see his disdain for these weak and predictable human beings.
There's also this interesting question of how serious it is. Of course, it's a very serious subject, you know, making a pact with the devil, the way people's lives are impacted, what happens to Marguerite. But the character of Mephistopheles has some quite comic moments in this, which for me helps. I think it helps to keep it sort of light. And of course, my character lightens the whole thing up as well. It's often my role is to be the light relief. Sibel is a young man, or an old boy, depending on how you look at it. He's maybe 14, maybe 15. He's too young to go to war. And that's the defining thing about him in terms of his age in this show. A lot of the men in the show are soldiers, so they're going off to war, and he can't. So he's envious of the soldiers, but also it gives him the advantage of being able to stay at home and look after Marguerite.
Oh,
other thing I think that is wonderful about Faust is the huge place of the chorus. The chorus has wonderfully singable music, which choruses love to sing and audiences love to hear. And Faust itself is not considered a choral opera, but when you hear it, you will hear many, many choruses off stage, on stage, soldiers marching on, soldiers marching off, crowd scenes. So the place of the chorus is very important. And in studying or restudying a bit the score, I found that in England at the time, Gounod entertained much more of a sense of fame for his choral works rather than his operas. I found that very interesting and not surprising, given what we hear in Faust.
The entire second scene, there's barely a moment where the chorus isn't on stage. And I wanted a great amount of detail in the work in that scene. I didn't want to just sort of bring them on and have them sing. And, you know, there's just a lot of individual action and a lot of stuff that has to go on amongst them. So it actually took me 3 nights of staging to stage that scene. We inched our way through it and put in lots and lots and lots of detail. The chorus here is quite spectacular, and they take that kind of attention and just soak it in and make it their own and go even further with it. And they love the fact that they feel like that they're not just, you know, a vocal part of it, but they are, you know, an integral part in the drama as well. The physical demands of a piece like Faust can be varied depending on the kind of cast you have. In this case, I know all these people and I they're all old friends, and I knew before I came here the kind of performances I could get. They're all rather young and athletic in their own way, so there wasn't going to be anything that was going to be too much of a challenge for them. And so we never even talked about it. We just talked about what the needs of the scenes were. And just went there. Now, when we get onto the actual physical set, it creates some limitations. Like in the final scene, there's this gigantic stairway that leads up to the heavens, perhaps. And it's built in a very strange way in that the steps are very skinny and they're not uniform. So, and they're very high. So the first time we were on the set, it was anybody who had to navigate those steps was concerned, and rightly so. So we did some minor adjustments when we got onto the set as far as how long people might stay on the stairs and how many times they went up and down them and that sort of thing. There's a lot of steps in this production that the audience is not even necessarily aware of.
The physicalities in the role can sometimes be challenging, just as challenging as the singing. And in some cases even more so, because there are optimum states with which you can sing, and then there are states with which you are singing despite having to do the staging. And that's not saying that the staging is ridiculous. It's just that, for instance, running up several flights of steps and having not very much time to recover, and then having to come out and sing something very, very legato, it's a challenge. And that's where the craft of bel canto comes in, and learning how to sing. And those challenges I love, actually, because I love being physical. I love being active in a piece, and especially with this production, and with what David has us do, I'm very happy with all of that.
Maybe the first day, the physicality of the action on stage makes it a little difficult to sing. But, you know, it's almost like anything else. When you go to the gym, that first day is always the hardest day. You know, you have to, lifting, you know, the lowest weight possible and building up the strength in your arms or your legs or whatever part of your body you're working out that day. And I kind of think it's the same way with singing. The more and more you do the action, the more rehearsal you have, and the more you sing as you're doing that action, it really helps to get it into the voice and get it into your body. And, you know, we always joke about, you know, you sing a line, when you rehearse something, when you're coaching something, you're usually standing in one spot and you're singing it. And then as you're doing it in the opera, you're either on your knees, you're on your this and that, and then you're just like, oh, wow. Then when you try to stand up and sing it again, it's harder because you're usually on your knees at that point. You're almost using the same muscles, but you're also using more reserve muscles from other places.
Yeah, exactly. That's much better. That's much, 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 much better. Perfect. And then, Greer, you've got a hand more available to go and toss them down. Now try to go. Stephen, this is the trap for the second act, so try to just kind of end up about right here if you can.
Okay.
That's fine, okay.
Right, and I see just that.
So that little foothold works for you?
That could work.
There is always that moment when the director says, right, and now you're just going to jump up onto that wall and jump off the wall, and you go, yeah. And you're thinking, okay, I hope. The thing to do is to say yes first and then figure out whether you can actually do it, because you've got to at least try.
That way's fine.
Yeah, because you just sit and go back.
No, I'll just jump.
Yeah. Oh, just jump.
But this year I don't get to fight with swords, which is a real shame. And I said to the director on the first day, so I see there's some sword fighting, so I'm going to be sword fighting. And he went, no, you're the lover, not the soldier. And I went, yeah, but I'm going to be sword fighting, right? I'm definitely going to sword fight. And he thought I was joking, but unfortunately, no, I don't get to fight.
If one is hearing Faust for the first time, let go of any boundaries of expectation. And I don't mean because anything's going to be so alarmingly different on stage, but be totally open to where this music, particularly this music, and its characters, will take you. I think that the music is extremely seductive. In French, we say, c'est très attirant. It attracts you. It pulls you to the story. The story unfolds in a way that is made much more believable by what you're hearing these characters sing and do. And there is such gorgeous melody and such expert and sophisticated orchestration.
What would be great for an audience member to come in a theater with is an expectation of an experience, a big theatrical experience. In this opera, there's a lot of magic, I guess, to behold, as well as gorgeous melodies.
54. And one.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.